Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Do I think he's the third best outfielder in the league and he should be over Juan Soto? No, I'm not going to buy that because I think he will have some regression. But I don't think the regression will be a complete nothing burger. I think his regression will be like maybe he has a month where he hits 240 and then he hits 260. And then he ends the season, like I said, as a 260, 270 hitter. But there's no chance he's not going to step into significant runs and homers and stolen bases. So it looks real. It looks real-ish. And I want to try to account for that. But I'm not accounting for him being a first-round overall player and he's better than Acuna and stuff. But, you know, I got him high. Him and Jackson Merrill are fighting for him. I'll be honest with you. Him and Churio is a battle for me. A month from now, ooh, if Churio kind of keeps underperforming, because Pete Crow is overperforming him. Like, he is beating him hands down. If we keep seeing some of the bad discipline, Churio and stuff like that, we might have to consider for the rest of that season, for this season, that Pete Crow has taken that next step and is more valuable than him. But I feel like my rank is significant enough that you can understand the value range of him, that I have him over some significant ass players. But I just don't know if I'm ready to be like, oh yeah, Pete Crow over Churio, like without question. I'm not sure I'm ready to go there yet, because I think, you know, Churio had a nice second half last year, and I think there's still more in the tank for him.
I think it's funny too. You know, you just look at walk and strikeout rate, and it's 9 walks to 55 strikeouts for Churio, and it's 9 walks to 58 strikeouts for PCA, right? Like, the discipline is not good for either one of them. It's just PCA is making better contact right now. So,
pulling the ever living crap out. I mean, 28% is crazy. Churio's got a 16%, which is pretty damn good. It's pretty damn good on the year, but it's not like a 28% is. I wonder if they have. I know they have to. I don't even know where I would look for it yet. But the pull air percentage tracking, like who's doing it the most. Let's see if I can even find it real quick. Sometimes finding Baseball Savant, trying to find like a stat, you're just like, okay, you know, that's, let's see, pull tilt. This doesn't have it. Yeah, I want to find a leaderboard for it, but I'm not seeing it off the top of my head, so screw it.
What about, speaking of 9 for something, 9 for 65 with 1 home run since coming off the injured list, Royce Lewis. What the hell are we doing with Royce Lewis right now? He has been miserable since coming off the IL. He's a constant injury concern and worry. So what the hell do you do with him right now? Just wait for, I mean, what you got to move him, you have to wait for him to have an outburst.
I don't think you need to own him is probably the best key here. Oof. I'm looking. So here are guys that I have him around, and I think there's different degrees of decision-making that you can make. I have him around Vientos, Arenado, and Josh Young. Now,
I mean, Vientos has been miserable as well.
Vientos has been sucky. Arenado has been average. He's, 236 homers. That's nothing to call home about.
He ran into the stands the other day.
Brendan Donovan doesn't have big counting stats, but he's hitting like 330. So he's like ridiculous. And Josh Young has been a pretty decent combo player between them. And you could argue like, well, yeah, right now, you know, if you don't think that Royce Lewis will bounce back to that version we've seen before, then you could argue like Josh Young is absolutely more valuable. I will say that his career, Royce Lewis, is he's been wildly big. He's a pull guy. He's not pulling the ball right now. He's not, whether he doesn't have the ability to, or he's just not doing that right now. But he is underperforming against all pitch types. He's got an expected average that is almost 100 points higher than where he's at. He is got relatively one of the highest hard hit percentages he's had in his career, that I think there's some room to grow for Roy. So I don't think the possibilities of him being worthwhile this season is over. Just in, there are formats where it just doesn't matter. So like
Royce Lewis or Jake Berger?
Jake Berger. I have Jake Berger above him right now. But my point is before you do that, is in a 10 team league, you don't need to sit around. Frankly, in a 12 team league, if you could bench him, that's what I would do. But if there's something else worthwhile, you probably don't need to sit around. In 15, you should, but you should have an eye on him. I have him at 15 right now, and I'm giving 15. Him the benefit of the doubt over Vientos and Arenado. I've got Young right there. And then it's just a bunch of blahs after that. But I've got Berger, I got Paredes, and this might not feel good, but I have like Polanco over him right now, who's cooled down.
Yeah, Polanco is one good. I was going to ask, because Polanco obviously started white hot and he has since come back to earth. You said Arenado. What about Michael Garcia?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think I have Michael too low, and I think he's going to keep going. Here's what I would do. I think you can drop him for Michael Garcia, regardless of rest of season rank, for the now, because I think my approach to this with Royce Lewis is, if he starts to get hot, I want to be quick to it, but you don't need to hold on to him for anybody else that's hot. And Michael Garcia is definitely one of those like hot players, averages over 300. He's got 10 stolen bases. Like, I think you can make that move, even though I will have Royce ahead of him currently in rest of season ranks. I think you can make that move.
Yeah, I think, I don't have Royce anywhere, so it's kind of a weird one, but yeah, I think obviously he's going to get much better, but once he gets better, is he going to stay healthy? And I think that's why your point about, look, do you really need to roster him? I think it's very, I think it's spot on. What about other guys that have dropped a little bit? Christian Campbell, Kyle Manzardo both started sinking like stones. Are these guys that are you trying to stash them and wait for the bounce back because they're young and all of that? Or is it, they're young and they're bad, they're out?
Not Manzardo, but okay. Campbell, I kind of don't want to get rid of. He's really tanked though, but he's going to have new possession flexibility. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. He's kind of in that similar range of like, I might give him a little bit more grace than Royce, to be honest with you. But I think it's a similar space. Like, if in a 10 team league, move on from Christian Campbell. I don't know if he's going to be able to catch Jacob Wilson in that rookie of the year stuff anymore. Jacob Wilson's going ballistic, but I would rather hold Christian than I would Manzardo.
All right. Throw your homerism out. We know you haven't had it for Gallen at all this year.
Yeah. Don't worry.
So how far down does Gallen go at his 5.54 ERA and his whip is 1.40. I mean, it's all bad for Gallen right now.
I hadn't even made the most recent update off of that last start, but he is more than cuttable.
The last start wasn't even that bad. It was Torrey, like the last three or four starts, Torrey's left him in for 15 too many pitches.
But he
gives up two or three at the end.
He can't go to, it's a fourth inning, fourth or fifth inning. He fell apart. I don't know where I said this. In a 10 team, cut him. In a 12 team, probably cut him. Just like Sandy Alcantara.
I didn't even put Sandy on the list because I think it's obvious you cut him.
But I don't think Gallen is that far off from him right now. Gallen is super inconsistent. He has nothing right now. Like, all he did was throw fastballs, and his secondaries were nowhere near the zone, and they just beat him up because his
fastball. Merrill Kelly or Zach Gallen rest of the year? Welsh, what are you doing?
Might be Merrill Kelly, to be honest. I'd rather Merrill Kelly. But here's what I also want to say, and this isn't to like hedge, because the idea of rest of season ranks, you hope you can do the best job as possible with like foresight and, you know, into the future. But like, there's only a third of the season gone. Gallen's a talented pitcher, and you know, he works off of this great knuckle curve and or used to be, and this changeup, and he's got a slider, but his fastball's not there. Am I open to the possibility that Gallen can find it again? Yeah, I do. But I don't think he's worth waiting around for anymore. So if there's viable 10 team, there's absolutely, I would rather stream than I would Zach Gallen. In 12 team, it could be a little bit dicier. I'll bet you there's better pitchers to hold on to right now. But I'll tell you this, I'm keeping a super close eye on Gallen if he starts to rattle off a start or two, or if he's got a good matchup coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my
in this league.
Because if things start to click again, I want to be aboard because I think he can get it. But right now, there's no signs of it. Or Sandy. I don't even understand the Sandy stuff. His changeup stinks right now. His fastball is flat. He's getting murder balled. Both of those guys are not rosterable right now. But also, like, just to cut them doesn't make sense. But I am, you know me. You and I were together in that very first start. I was out on Gallen from the start one, and it's the same nonsense, and it's May 29th. It's the same stuff with him.
What about his teammate, Brandon Pfaadt, who has the second lowest WAR among qualified starters? There are 80 that qualified. He was 79. The May was bad. His XERA is 636, which is the lowest the worst among those 80 qualified starters. So, you know, the results haven't been terrible the whole way through. May was bad, but April wasn't. And the numbers are middling. I think I was looking at Yahoo last night. He was like right around 150. He was a preseason 150 guy, like right around 147, something like that. So the numbers say good currently. But everything underlying says disaster. So is it time to be done with Brandon Pfaadt, or is this one of those, you know, look, when he finally breaks, then you dump him, but until he does, just roll?
Oh, I think it's until he breaks, you dump him. But I've been a sell on him for a couple of weeks, did a sell video that you just can't ignore it. Everybody's barreling him up. He's getting hit really hard. XBA against is 315, a 315 batting average. That's crazy. You already cited his expected ERA numbers. On top of it, he's striking out 6% less this year. That's just not going to work. And I know it's been about him trying to throw more changeups because you got to be more effective against lefties. And he has, but he's getting less strikeouts with it. His sweeper is less effective. His fastball just stinks. So yeah, he's giving up a 260 average against four seams, but an expected 358. You got to get out. The only problem is everybody knows you got to get out from him, but he's near the league leaders in wins. He's still got a sub-4 ERA. I'm a trade on Pfaadt, but I'm not super optimistic of him rest of season. You know, frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if Gallen is more valuable than Pfaadt moving forward. I know that doesn't sound like a thing, but just...
Well, you just said drop both of them, you know.
Yeah, Gallen's kind of a pile right now.
Do you start Pfaadt against the Nationals on Friday?
Strong lefty and James Wood too, and Abrams. Maybe. I think it's risky. His lefties are his problem. It's risky.
Yeah.
What is he giving up average against lefties right now? He is. Oh, that's his success versus lefties. 9 walk. Why can't I see his ERA versus lefties? That's weird. It's a savant thing. They're just not showing that. But
right now it is. Against lefties, the ZRA is... Oh, no, they don't show it on here either, lefty-righty.
His whip is higher against righties right now, so he's actually looks like he's maybe a tiny bit more effective versus lefties. But
well, this also says he has 165 lefties face versus 96 righties. So He's given up 7 homers and 14 runs to the lefties, 13 and 5 to the righties.
I just think it's a trade. I don't think I might start him in that one. I think I might.
All right, let's go closers here.
By the way, speaking of closers, before you do that, I want to give this note because this just came down. Dodgers are about to acquire Alexis Diaz from the Reds. Alexis Diaz was optioned down to AAA. Obviously, that is going to be a potential closer. And because I know your question's going to come up about Tanner Scott, this might be a problem. This might be a thing for Tanner Scott. They are getting bullpen help. I kind of thought they had a bunch of guys. This might answer some questions about some of the other players that people are throwing out here. Braden Fisher, I think, was one that someone was
throwing
Diaz
out. Couldn't even win the closing job on his own team in Cincy. And their bullpen isn't great either.
He's not a shoe-in by any means. But the Dodgers are acquiring Alexis Diaz. So that also
at least competitive.
Kills his possibility of being the closer with the Reds. And that is a huge plus for Emilio Pagan moving forward. But he could be vying for it. And the report is
could be big for him. If he wins that job, closing for the Dodgers, best spot to be in.
If you get Alexis Diaz like how he used to be-ish with the Dodgers, that's a top 10 closer. Absolutely.
And what do the Dodgers do? They take players and fix them a lot.
They do fix them. And they also said that it doesn't look like he's going to immediately go up with the Dodgers. So they might, you know, take a look and maybe revamp something. And I don't know. So I think people are going to react to Alexis Diaz by picking him up too soon. But if you're in a deeper league, you probably should just in case. But I still think Tanner Scott's kind of a buy low, Boggs.
Yeah, I think so too. I still think he's their guy, but also, you know, let's ignore the Tanner Scott situation for now because of this Alexis Diaz news. We don't know. What about Raisel Iglesias? Raisel has been awful so far. I feel like every time I turn on the TV and it's Raisel Iglesias, he is blowing a lead. Man, so
I don't even think I paid enough attention to that. You're right.
He's on the hot seat right now. He's been miserable. How far down among closers do you move Raisel? Because he just seems like a lock for 40 saves every year. And he has 8, which is nice, but his ERA is 5.75. The Sierra is nice. It's 3.03, but his XFIP is 3.56. The guy's only thrown 20 innings. He only has 4 walks. He has 21 strikeouts. So that's not terrible, right? Like, he's fine, but these are not great numbers. His whip has always been kind of his strength. Cincinnati in 2020, 0.91, 0.93, 0.97, 1.19 in Atlanta in 2023 was his worst at 1.19. Last year, it dropped all the way down to 0.74, and it's up to 1.33. His career is 1.06. So he's letting more guys on right now. He's giving up more runs. He's blown a bunch of saves. What do we do with Iglesias?
Yeah, I've got him down at 16. That does include 2. So that's more like reliever 14. I've got him right near Devin Williams. I got him near Camilo Duvall. I'm not sure I'm 100% ready to get rid of him just because, you know, Braves team having Ronald Acuna back and win opportunities.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
If things start to finally start clicking, like, you kind of don't want to let go of that. But you also could see a path where people are talking about if the Braves keep losing games, maybe Chris Sale becomes available if they try to move off of some pieces, that you could see Iglesias moving out. I'm torn on him. I've got him in the middle, but you're right. It's worse than I think I had even like remembered. His K percentage is down. His expected ERA, it's over 5, a 16% barrel rate. He has given up 6 earned runs in the month of May so far. He's given up a run
in 5 together. Of his last 7 games.
Yeah, exactly. And he's had like 1 clean outing, then a bad, you know, gives up a run, clean outing, you know, gives up one. I think he's a middle pack reliever right now. I think with a couple more weeks, a guy like you know, Camilo Duvall, if we're super comfortable, could go ahead. But you might be better off with Kyle Finnegan right now, who, you know, I know he's a national Washington, but he's got 15 saves, 2.41 ERA. So I think that's kind of the realm of Raisel Iglesias is moving down pretty quick and fast. And he
21 appearances and he's given up a run in 10 of them. So just not a good pace for Iglesias. Is Iglesias a guy, is he someone you would trade for just because, you know, you look at this, any team, if the closer's not working, any team will find someone else to do the work, right? Like, you don't have to have an obvious replacement. They really don't have an obvious replacement, though. So does that make him, that give him a little bit longer leash, or do you just not care? I don't care.
I don't think I'm going to buy him because, like, it's he feels like the guy that could, I know what you're saying. Like, he doesn't have,
there's not an obvious, you know, go-to.
Yeah, like 100%. But at the same time, like, I'm just not 100% sure that he doesn't have the job, or he has the job tomorrow. So even though there's not a replacement, I just don't think I would buy on him because it's been consistently bad. It's been, and that's the other thing. That's like that's the rub of him versus even a guy like Justin Martinez. You know, in 3 weeks, Justin Martinez could have like 5 or 6 clean innings and get a couple saves. And it's like, yeah, this is the guy over Iglesias. Iglesias looks like he's trending in the wrong direction. This is someone I'm probably trying to get out from, to be honest with you, or not buy.
All right. How high do two way over performers need to be on these lists? Let's start with our boy, Geraldo Perdomo. Perdomo is having a killer year. I did see he got a big write-up, I think, on FanGraphs, was it the other day? But, I mean, he's hitting .292, 27 runs, 6 homers, 39 RBI, 11 swipes. His OBP is .391. The dude is having an incredible year. He's still walking at a higher rate than he is striking out. Perdomo, he's the opposite of most guys get paid and relax. He got paid and is trying to live up to his contract and doing it. So how high do we need to have Geraldo Perdomo among the other shortstops?
I have, and so it might feel low. I don't know. I have him at 16. So I think that's kind of high, but let me give you some relative. And this is also the positional stuff. Well, I got to actually make this change. Never mind. I have him at 15 now, but here are some guys I have him above. I have him above Matt McClain. I have him above Christian Campbell. I have him above Volpe, Bogarts. I have him right in the area of like Jackson Holliday and Willy Adames. And he has obviously outperformed a guy like Willy Adames. The question with Perdomo has always been, will he be able to like continue doing this? I will say I got called a homer like a couple weeks ago. We did some episodes where I picked Perdomo. I think it was on here, maybe when one of the debates and something else. And people thought maybe I was being a little bit of a homer for it, but 292, 6 homers, 11 stolen bases. He's not striking out. He's walking more than he's striking out. His quality of contact is better than it's been before. And he's pulling the ball a decent amount. I think there's a chance. I think it's going to simmer down, but we are looking like we could have a 15-20 season. You know what this reminds me of? Luis Garcia, like with the Nationals last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's where Perdomo looks like. So I think that's the relative range. If you want him over Willy Adames because you think Adames is absolutely trash and can't bounce back, I get it. I totally understand that. But I have him as a top 15 shortstop rest of season. And I have him above Jacob Wilson, which I think is another interesting question. 7 homers, 4 stolen bases, .353 average. Absolutely ridiculous, but one of the most non-power profiles out there. I have them next to each other at 15 and 16, but I am slightly leaning on Perdomo.
Well, Jacob Wilson and Geraldo Perdomo both are tied for 6th in WAR among hitters.
Oh, wow. It's
Perdomo, Jacob Wilson, and Corbin Carroll, all at 2.7. 5 guys ahead of him. Can you name them?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are too easy.
This is the Fantasy Baseball Prospect Podcast. This is Prospect 1. I'm your host, Chris Welsh, who you can find on Twitter, Instagram, at IsItTheWelsh, and of course over at InThisLeague.com. On the Patreon, if you're listening to this on Friday, the update should be there for the top 500 prospects, top 400 dynasty, some other fun information. Just all of my stuff is floating around there. And next week, I'll be doing an episode breaking down some of the biggest rank changes, because, boy, there's a lot of stuff. But go to InThisLeague.com today. You can support me by going, checking, and you get access to the list. There's a community and a bunch more, and I very much appreciate you for doing it, InThisLeague.com. I mentioned the social. Instagram, that's definitely one of the key words of the day, because my guest is a very good friend of mine out here in Arizona, Troy Collins. And as I will say on here, because I'm doing the open after the interview, Troy Collins has one of the craziest Instagram social followings in the prospect world. Just about 1 million followers, and Troy is 100% prospects. And that has to be the biggest social account dedicated to prospects in all the land. I've known Troy for a couple years. He kind of does the things that I do, but at a much more successful rate, of course, and has just built this conglomerate. He sees these guys, he's friends with these guys, and he's on the show today. Troy Collins, Baseball Life. You've definitely come across, if you're into socials, whatever, Instagram or Twitter, you've definitely come across videos that are his. They get shared like crazy. And, you know, he's got really good takes. We talk about prospect all the time. I see him. We're talking about, you know, who's shining, who's lighting up. I might, you know, push out a prospect like, oh, this is a guy, you know, from like a fantasy perspective. And, you know, Troy will be like, oh, yeah, really like this guy. That was something we had talked about with Tyson Lewis last year in the Bridge League or whatever, when he wasn't playing sanctioned games. It's one of those guys that stood out. And, you know, Troy lives this probably to a bigger degree than I do. You know, I can't get out every single day. Troy's out there every day. So seeing lots of prospects, kind of has a history in the baseball world. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about some of the prospects that him and I have seen a bunch, his takes on them. It's a very fun conversation with a great guy, good vibes, positive vibes, and some giveaway stuff. He's got a giveaway going on that you guys can. So Troy Collins, Baseball Life, making it to Prospect One, or Troy Collins X Prospect One for the episode today. I've got some news and notes that we're going to hit that are also floating around the prospect world, and then we're just going to get right into it. But want to give a shout out to my friend Dennis Sidler over at Sid's Graphs. Going to want to check out all his stuff going on today. He's actually got a nice signing come up with a major leaguer. I don't know what, I got to ask him. I don't remember sometimes what I can say and what I can't, but major leaguers, prospects, doesn't matter. You got to go and check it out. Dennis has got the latest and greatest, and it can do cards, you know, hats, baseballs, whatever it is, bats. There's lots of really cool, unique things that you can get from some of the game's top players. Go and check him out today at Sid's Graphs. Sid's Graphs on the social and on eBay, where a lot of his stuff lives. Go and check it out today from my buddy, Dennis Sidler. Okay, let's talk about some news and notes in the prospect space before we just start breaking some stuff down with Troy before Troy joins me here. Biggest piece of news, Travis Bezzana out 8 to 10 weeks with the absolute dreaded oblique strain. Womp, womp. Not great. Travis Bezzana, at this point, I think it's going to lean closer to the 10 weeks. It obviously depends how he's going to heal. As far as I know, I believe he's already out here in Arizona. He's just going to be chilling. They've got a bunch of these guys. I mean, the Guardians rehab of prospects. Not every team does this, but a decent amount do. When a prospect is out for, you know, more than like a minimal amount of time, they go back to complex. Major leagues, it's different. I don't understand why sometimes. Like, I understand why Arizona, you know, if Corbin Burns is hurt or something like that, or Ketel Marte, send him to complex. It's the same state. But not every other team does this, you know, from maybe sometimes it's a big star or something, but like take Logan Webb. You know, Logan Webb is just hanging. He's hanging in Seattle doing that stuff. But then on the other side, you know, you'll have, I guess it's a little bit different with a guy like Shane Bieber, but like Shane Bieber is out here in Arizona with the Guardians, and he's been here for the entirety of it. And I guess he's kind of working up, but still, you would think Gilbert would be here. Major leaguers, it's not so much. It's pretty much a foregone conclusion that any minor leaguer is going to go back to complex. They're going to be hanging. They're going to be rehabbing. And the Guardians have had everybody. I mean, everybody has been on that list. Last I talked to you, I saw the Guardians over the weekend. George Valera is rehabbing, hit a homer. I got a video of that if you want to check it out. Looks okay. Still love the swing. I just don't know if it's still there. You know, there's still some of the same intricacies of swinging through stuff, and the body is okay. And I'm off of the love train that I used to have as far as where he can be, but I still think he could be a major leaguer. You know, that bat is still there. I want to say it was maybe a secondary pitch, like a slider on the outside, and he just took it over the wall and right. But my main point wasn't necessarily that. I mean, we can talk about live looks, of course. It's just the Guardians have a gajillion rehabbing guys. You've had Chase DeLauder. You had George Valera. They had David Fry and Nick Mitchell. DeLauder's back up, so that's a piece of news. He's back off of his rehab, up to AAA. I actually had talked to him on Saturday, and he said he had a couple more days that he was out here. Looks okay also. You know, he could be a kind of very decisive hitter and trying to, you know, pick and choose where he's going with stuff. Didn't make a bunch of great contact when I saw him, but he hit a homer, I think, in the final game before. He's running. He's playing some in the field. So those are really big positives. And he's back. Nick Mitchell's off. David Fry's gone. But then they've got another group of them. Jason Churio and Angel Hinoa are both out here. And they're going to start a rehab assignment, I believe, tonight as I'm recording this. And I may see them over the next couple of days. And then you have Bazzana hanging. You know, Bazzana's hanging out and Shane Bieber. It's not a good complex to for access and stuff like that. But there's a ton of dudes, ton of guys that are hanging out there. And I think this is almost a foregone conclusion that Travis Bazzana is going to play in the AFL. No guarantees on anybody, but if you want the poster child of how does a player get to the AFL, how about a completely shortened season, missing 150 to 200 plus at bats that they should have gotten? That's the framework for an AFL guy. He's in Double A. He was okay. This would have been like the first full season of ball. He's going to miss significant time, anywhere from 2 to 3 months. He's going to the AFL. There's no doubt about it. They did this with Chase DeLauder. So, you know, that list that I make, I'll talk and I do this breakdown of the AFL. There it is. Travis Bazzana. He is number one on the list. I think there's some other guys. You know, Kevin McGonigal has missed a ton of time this year. Maybe the second half, they're just not going to care. But I could see that being something where, you know, the Tigers want to get him going. Just that injury is just drug on and on. But it really does look like Travis Bazzana is going to be the first of the crew of AFL guys missing significant time. And, you know, probably a decent buy opportunity in the fantasy space. You know, he didn't light the world up. He's going to miss this time. He'll come back at the back half of the year. He'll get some work in the AFL. I think his value is going to pop back up in the AFL. So if you are in the quote stock market of, you know, prospects and stuff, it's a great time to buy in Travis Bazzana because he should be moving back up. We had another guy that left here, Charlie Condon, or another Arizona based thing. Charlie Condon, who you guys know, I talked with Troy a little bit about Condon. It's a little tenuous with what I've seen. There's the possibility that Condon is my new James Wood, where when I see them, they look bad, but the skill sets still come through. You guys have seen the video. I put out the 3-strikeout game video. Then I happened to be in the right spot where he was playing at another game. And it was another bad, really bad 3-pitch strikeout. Then I don't see him for a couple days and he starts popping off. He had a 3-for-3 game. He had another hit or multi-hit game. And then he moved up. He's moved up to Spokane. He's back in high A. And his first game back in Spokane went 2-for-4. So that's a really good sign, especially being able, because he's not just going to A ball. He should be in high A. He's old enough. But like him, you know, maybe he found some confidence. Maybe it's in it. You know, God knows what it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What is this?
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League.
It has to be at least 3 times bigger than this.
Troy and I will talk a little bit about Jose Anderson was leading in like almost every category. You know, he was right there with homers and slug and everything. And wouldn't you know it, the Brewers bring him on up, bring young kid right up into high or to not high, but A ball, where he is going to play with Jesus Madé. Luis Peña, though, another transactional piece. Luis Peña is on the IL. This is the second time this year, too. Just want to throw that out. I don't know if it's anything serious. And for indications, is like if this were a longer, more serious, like I said before, probably send out here to Arizona. Tyler Black is rehabbing, Jefferson Cuero. But from what I've garnered, it sounds like he's staying. So that's probably shorter variety. Same thing happened before, but two injuries floating out there. But Jose Anderson moved up to A-ball is, I think it's very telling of the talent. They're not afraid to move those guys up as soon as they get going. They just, boom, they move their prospects, or they challenge them to a higher degree. And Jose Anderson, I literally missed him by a day. I hit the Brewers on, I think it was Monday, and that was the day he got called up. I did get to see Jaden Fielder, Tyler Black, Caro, Ethan Dorchies, who is an up-and-coming prospect, probably one of the best pitchers out here in the ACL. I know that Chris Clegg has tweeted about him, a big kid, almost unhittable. I was talking with him at the game, and I'm like, you're not going to be here for long. And he's like, that's the plan. He's like, that's what I'm hoping. He was very nice kid, just big boy with big stuff. Bunch of great guys, but I really was there to see Jose Anderson, and I unfortunately did not get to. He leaves the ACL hitting .333, three homers, two triples, two doubles, 8-9 walk to strikeout ratio with three stolen bases in only 10 games. First game up, didn't do anything. Strikeout and three at bats. I think he must have got on. He has a little OBP on there, but no walk. We'll see where it goes. But Jose Anderson has got to be on your radars. Big old jump in my ranks. You know, he's going to show high-ish. I'm always battling the stock market excitement nature of prospects and just murderballing their rank up versus the totality of it. So what I mean by that is, like, you know, Jose Anderson might justifiably, you throw him in the top 100. If you're talking about these are trajectory, these are arrow moved players, he probably belongs in probably the top 100 or top 75 of most interesting players so far this season. But in the grand scheme, have we seen enough? Sometimes it doesn't matter in fantasy. And that's where I'm still trying to find a happy medium. I think some others might do a better job of, like, just vaulting some dude way up the ranks. I tend to think sometimes that can backfire, but people sometimes don't care about that. You just want to see, like, who are the guys that are moving up that I should pick up? And if they fail, you move on. But I think it shows itself where if it's like, you know, Jose Anderson is super, you know, he's going nuts and stuff. Should I drop, you know, Jose Briseño for him? Because Briseño is only hitting .250 and he was on the IL, and it's like, I wouldn't want to do that. That's not what I would want to do. But if you're talking about buzz, Jose Anderson has it over Briseño right now. So he's definitely way up this list. Another guy I'm going to throw out to you, I kind of not remembering if Troy and I might have, like, just briefly talked about him on here, but one of the biggest pop-up players out here in the ACL that, you know, so there's like the quote stars, the guys that you totally know. And, you know, Josue Lugo is a player that, you know, is on everybody's minds. I'd even say Johnny Levels, maybe not necessarily there. Then there's that medium range. Jose Anderson, Johnny Levels, that's a better example for that. Johnny Level, Jose Anderson, you know, those are guys that it's like, you're aware of and they're popping off and you're like, okay, sweet. And then there are just players that just come poof, just out of nowhere. And Dari Fernandez with the Guardians is that player. D-A-U-R-I, for anybody listening out there, Dari Fernandez. And it's funny because Dari's actually hit me up multiple times for video and stuff like that. Because when I've been out I was at the Guardians so much compared to where I have in the past, I can't even believe it. But it was, you know, to see David Fry and DeLauder and Valera and Tristan McKenzie was supposed to pitch and stuff like that. But one constant has been Dari Fernandez out there. Dari's hitting .465 in Complex League. It's 13 games, but .465, a .566 OBP, a .13 OPS right now. He has a 10
to four walk to strikeout ratio. So he has more than double the walks than he does strikeouts. Crazy. He has 9 extra base hits of his 20 hits. 0 homers, though. 6 doubles, 3 triples. He also has 4 stolen bases. I've got some video on him, and I believe I shared it on Instagram. It's one of his triples from not too long ago. Troy has also got one of these doubles that we put out there. And he's really, really easy at the plate. Doesn't mess with the bat too much. Gets it in the zone. Makes really good contact and flies across the bases. Now, he's not the biggest guy. He's listed around 155. That's probably believable. He's 18 years old. He's a middle infielder. But Dari Fernandez is just absolutely dominating out here. He makes way too much contact. I don't know if he's going to end up ever being like a big impact bat as far as like power and stuff like that. Could he become a Perdomo though? Yeah. There's some Perdomo-like tendencies in there. So if you guys want a pop-up player, Dari Fernandez has been absolutely dominating. I have seen him 3 different times so far. Also a great kid. Like I said, he's hit up Troy, hits up me, you know, chatting about, trying to get video and stuff. I think he's pretty excited about it. So look out for him. Only other things I want to mention. I thought this was really, really interesting. The Chicago White Sox are doing some random shutdowns of players. And it was announced, I think it was 2 days ago, that Hagen Smith and Jairo Iriarte are taking a pitching break to do some biomechanical work. That's crazy cool. I love hearing that. I think it is presented in a really cool way versus players that are just being thrown on the, quote, developmental list. I am seeing a little bit more of that's happening out there, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I think people should pay attention when teams are doing that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
The ump stuff out here is really bad, but it doesn't take away, like, what you could see on the video of, like, there's a breaking pitch eye issue going on with Condon. But, hey, he just kind of met the call at high A, so maybe competition's up, and I'm not 100%... how I feel about it. He's lower in my ranks for sure, but Condon up at high A is a good sign. And I'll tell you this. I don't know if people paid attention to this. Very interesting. He's playing first base. He played first base 2 or 3 games out here in complex. So they might be playing around with some flexibility. Maybe there's some injury stuff. You know, he was playing left field when he was out here. Maybe they want to see if he's got a first base body for sure, but he played some first base out here. That might be something more of what we see. And maybe that's going to be like a future look for Condon, that they just don't want him in the outfield. And I'm not 100% sure, but his value is definitely kind of tanking, but very, very good sign that at least, you know, he gets up to high A and he kind of takes that confidence and builds it with a couple hits, but he is out of here. Robert Hassel to the major leagues. Robert Hassel, I think I even took a stance like a year ago of just being like, it's just not a thing. And the one thing I will say, and this is why the process is not linear, he just finally changed a bit of who the guy he was. You know, I bet if we had, I could be wrong about this, but if I had like attack angle, a new thing that they're giving to us on Baseball Savant, giving us so much great stuff. We have like bat speed data and batting stance data. And then now we're getting like swing data. We're getting how the angle of the attack of the bat on the ball. What is that? And how that correlates to like other major leaguers and success and stuff. I would kind of guess there's been some changes in regards to potential bat speed and length and attack angle with a guy like Robert Hassel, because it seems to me he's a little bit less in that territory of like, I'll cheat to hit breaking pitches because I got bat speed to hit fastballs and I'm going to tank them, to being probably letting the ball travel a little bit more, getting more hits, not trying to get the ball in the air as much, not worrying about power impact and just making better decisions. And it's gotten to the major league. So there might be something there with Robert Hassel, but he's up in the majors. Demetrio Crisantis, I probably should have just put this with injuries, very highly touted prospect with the Arizona Diamondbacks and highly touted for his bat. a lot of discussions. There's so many interesting Diamondback guys. I'm not sure, like, well, it's not that I'm not sure. There aren't elite Diamondback prospects that are floating out there, you know, that are sitting at the top of any ranks outside of, I guess, Lawler, if you want to call that. But there are there's like this core of like from the 50s to the 150s of like Slade Caldwell and Ryan Waldschmidt is sitting out there. Maybe Yonhill Luis, JD Dix. Demetrio Casantis has had a lot of people, I mean, just popping his value, maybe beyond what I thought it should have been, simply because of the hit tool. He is going to miss, it looks like, the rest of the season with season-ending shoulder surgery. So that's not looks like. That is official. He is going to miss the rest of the year. You have to wonder, because statistically he was a bit underperforming. And you have to wonder if maybe that was due to the shoulder, something to consider. But he hit only 252 in high A after hitting 341 across two levels last year. OBP dropped by 70 points as well. He was still walking more than striking out. He had 12 of his 31 hits were still extra base, and he stole some bases. It's just everything was not quite as impactful as it was, whether that's, you know, maturation. I mean, he's at the same level Charlie Condon is, and he's like 2 years younger. Or, you know, is that shoulder related? But Crisantis is going to miss the rest of the season. So I don't know the timeline. I just realized this. He could be an AFL guy, but I'm not really sure if the timeline is like an 8 to 10 month situation, or is this like, I mean, it would have to be 4 or 5 months for him to get back. But now I want to click and read and see what they said. It looks like this happened during an at bat, so it doesn't look like a lingering thing. But, you know, there always could have been something in there. No, they say he will build back up until spring of 2026. So not an AFL candidate. So he's going to miss the rest of the season. Again, maybe a guy that you can look at for trading, because he's not going to produce anything and people will be a little off of him. Some promotional stuff. Christian Moore up to AAA. He's kind of struggled, but up to AAA, which is kind of an uncommon Angels thing, to be honest with you. So that's interesting to see. And Jose Anderson, I'm super pissed about this one. And I think I talked about it on shows, but Jose Anderson has been one of the best complex players out here. If you remember, James Anderson and I talked about him, I believe, on RotoWire. And Jose Anderson was like tippy top outside of Victor Figueroa.